But anyways, we're carrying on a series called In the Meantime. And what we've been looking at is the life of David. David was the second king of Israel. Israel were God's people from the Old Testament. And we're looking at the time between when the prophet Samuel came up to David and said, David, you're going to be king of Israel, and the time that he became king. There were many years between the times when the prophet said he'll be king and when he actually became king. A lot of time passed, a lot of things happened, a lot went on, a lot of shaping of who David was happened in the meantime. The time between the promise and the finality of it, the time between the promise and the actual carrying out of the promise, the time between the prophecy and the king actually rising to be king, a lot of time passed in between these times. And so we're looking at, what do we do in the meantime? Based on David's life, what have we learned about the meantime? This week we're going to talk a little bit about one of the most known stories in the Bible. That's when David faced Goliath. Even people who don't go to church, they know who David and Goliath are. People who have no Christian background or anything, they'll talk about David and Goliath because it's this incredible story of this little guy battling this not-so-little guy and winning. And it's all about the underdog, and people like that story. But we're going to look a little bit about at how that story helps us to look at our future and who we should be in the meantime, how we should face giants in the meantime is shaping who we're meant to become. It's training us for what's next. It's training us to receive the promise that God has given us. So David was still a shepherd boy. He was still living on the fields at his dad's house, taking care of all the sheep. And this battle started between Israel and the Philistines. And the Philistines had this one warrior named Goliath, and he every single day would come out and start yelling at the Israelites, "Someone come and face me. Someone come and fight me. If you beat me, then we'll be your slaves. If I beat you, you become our slaves, and that's good. Let's just make it mano y mano, one-on-one. And we don't need to get everyone else involved, just one person against me." Easy for him to say. He's 9 feet tall and huge, right? But he's calling out every day, and David has nothing to do with the army at this point, except that his dad says, "Hey, David, Israel's maybe not doing that well. They're not really providing for the soldiers that well. We'd love for you to take to your brothers, who all are on the fighting lines. We'd love for you to take to them their bread and cheese for the day. You know, make some sandwiches, go take them. You know, deliver the goods to your brothers." So his dad is kind of crazy because we're sitting in the meantime. His dad still doesn't even think, like, he was there when the prophet told David he was going to be king. And still he goes, "You're the sandwich boy. You're the shepherd and the sandwich boy. There's nothing really special about you, David. Your brothers all get to fight, but you're the shepherd. And then when we want, you deliver the bread and cheese. And that's all you do." And so David says, "Okay. We're in the meantime. I'm not the king yet. We're in the meantime, so I'll do it." He heads over, gives the bread and the cheese to his brother, starts hearing about this Goliath guy. All these things are going on, and he's thinking, "Why are we not fighting him?" It says in 1 Samuel 17:10 to 11, "Then the Philistine said, 'This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other.' On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified." Scared. No one's facing him. It's not like this is day one of the giant calling out. Day after day after day, the same giant calls out. The same Goliath calls out and says, "Who's going to fight me?" And they're terrified and they're dismayed. Even Saul, who stands a head and shoulders taller than everyone else, is terrified and dismayed. I don't know if you've ever been terrified or dismayed of a giant. I have. I have before in my life. There was this one time when I was a teenager, me and a few friends were just walking. We were literally just out for a walk around an area that we wanted to see. So we were out for a walk, and all of a sudden these two cars full of other young people older than us drove by us and were sort of giving us the stink eye a little bit, staring at us and just watching us and driving by us slow. So we thought that was kind of weird, but we carried on. And soon one car parked in front of us on this side of the road and one behind us right back there. And so we thought this was very strange. So we crossed the road, went to the other side, carried on walking, and didn't really know what to think about this. And then all of a sudden, all these cars slowly drove by us and pulled into the bushes in front of us. That was scary. I was dismayed and terrified, actually. This one guy gets out, and he walks over to us, and basically he was accusing us of robbing him of something. And we're like, we didn't rob you of anything. We all go to church, and we all read our Bible pretty regularly, and we'll do it more if you need us to. But we didn't rob anything from you. We didn't do anything. We promised we did not do anything. Eventually, he was not convinced. He decided that we had robbed him. He yells to his friends in the bushes, says, "Let's get them." And I'm like, no, let's not do that. We don't need to do that at all. And all of a sudden, these people start filing out of the bush. And this was a scary moment for me. But we were kind of like, there's a few of us, there's a few of them. We were kind of all eyeing them up, thinking, hey, who knows, maybe we got a chance here, let's see. And then all of a sudden, out of the bush, the last guy that comes out is the biggest and hairiest and scariest of them all. This guy comes out, seriously, all these other guys are just a little bit bigger than us, and then comes the giant, the Goliath. Not to mention, he's got a weapon. He's got this big thing to hit with, I think. And so we're standing there thinking, this doesn't seem like a good scene. This isn't what we really want to be doing. We're scared and terrified. So we, at that point, decided, let's put our pride aside and go ahead and run. So I yelled out, run! And then I didn't look back to see if my friends ran. I ran. You know, I'm like, I'm out of here. It's a sort of like if you're walking through the woods sometimes and someone says, hey, if there's a bear, just make sure you run faster than someone else. That's what this situation was. That looks like a bear. I'm out of here. You know, I bolt. We ran down, run up this house. We've never seen the house, never been to the house, never anything. We're praying that something might happen. Run around. This people are chasing us. I run behind the house, and all of a sudden, I hear the bellowing of who I think must be Goliath. This person yells, "Get off my property!" And I'm like, normally that wouldn't be a good sound, but I'm like, our Savior, you know. I run over and I jump in between like his legs or something, I don't know what. I slide in his house, I'm like, I'm safe, you know. And this giant, who was a giant a few minutes ago, I see him running down. All of these guys just take off because the guy that is living in this house actually played for Team Canada Rugby. That's pretty cool. And he was like, I was pretty tall then, I'm pretty tall now, and I was looking up to this guy. He was a big guy, and he just yells at these, get off my, and they all run. You saw usually a reaction when you see a giant who wants to fight you, when you see a giant who's coming after you, usually a fairly normal reaction is get out of the way, leave. Don't do anything. Just try not to stoke the fire. Just try to stay calm and just, you know, I'm not doing anything. Like, what? You know, just try not to cause any problems, you know. And David could have done this when he showed up. He walked into the scene. He could have just been like, hey, well, don't worry. I'll just carry on. God's promised me to be king, and so I'll just wait for that to happen. But he doesn't. David says, this guy's calling out Israel. And though I'm not king yet, God's called me to it. So in the meantime, I better take care of whatever giants come against it. In the meantime, I better fight against any giants who are going to come against the promises God has placed on me and on this kingdom. In the meantime, I better come against whatever giants are facing me. In our lives, we don't usually have actual giants facing us. We don't usually have to face actual 9-foot. I was studying this week, by the way, with an 8-foot ceiling, and thinking that Goliath's head would have been through the ceiling. Kind of crazy. But anyways, we don't usually have to battle someone like that. It's not usually a physical battle that we have to take care of. But there's always a giant in our lives. There's always something we need to face. God has called us to a life with Him. He's called us to some kind of promise. He's put something in your heart and you know it. And yet, every time you try to focus on that, there's some giant that we all have to face. There's something that gets in the way. That when we want to think about the future God has for us, when we want to believe for the things that He's put in front of us, in the meantime, there's a giant before us. And we tend to just want to ignore that giant. God, you've called me to a life without addiction, so I'm just going to wait until that addiction is gone. What if God's saying, I've called you to a life without addiction, and that addiction is a giant, and I want you to fight it. I want you to fight it. I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give you courage. I'm going to give you everything that you need to take care of that thing. Sometimes that addiction, I mean, it can be drugs. That's where a lot of us go, but a lot of us go there because we don't have a drug problem. Sometimes it's pornography, you know? It's like, God, I just love you. I'm so thankful for the life that you've given me. But we're so distracted about the promises that God wants to give us because we're stuck in this other area. We're addicted in this other area. Maybe it's a broken marriage that you have. You know, Lord, thank you for the full life that I have, and as long as I keep you separate from my marriage, as long as I don't think about that. See, David could have looked back at Israel and said, hey, Israel's doing all right. Let's just leave that giant alone. Well, that giant eventually is going to destroy Israel, and David won't have a kingdom to be the king over. You can't just ignore the giant. Is it a broken marriage that God's saying, hey, I do want you to have a full and incredible life, but right now your marriage is broken. That's the giant in your life. That's the distraction in your life. So what I want you to do is be strong and courageous in yourself, and I want you to go and try to fix that. Sometimes it's unforgiveness for some of us. Where like we have a dream of who God wants us to be, and yet every time we feel like we're going to get a little bit closer to God, we're reminded of that person that hurt us. Reminded of that thing that one guy did, that one girl did, that one pastor did, that once upon a time, that one friend who betrayed us, that thing that happened long ago, and that becomes the giant who calls out to Israel, and we try to ignore it. No, I don't want to think about that because I'm trying to think about God, and God is saying, face the giant. In the meantime, face that unforgiveness. Overcome it. Win. You can. Maybe it's shame. You know, Lord, I want to see you so clearly. But there's this thing that I did long ago. I've been carrying the shame around about that. I've been guilty about that. I can't get over that. God's saying, face that giant. Maybe it's debt, you know. I think sometimes what we say, Kendall and I learned something with our finances a while back where we used to sort of say, God, we're just gonna believe that you're going to give us more. We believe that you're going to take care of our finances and it's going to be okay. And eventually we were praying and really felt like God said to us, yeah, but have you heard about budgeting? Because yes, I'd like to take care of your finances. I'd like to help you. I'd like to bless you in surprising ways. But you won't even know if I'm blessing you. If you're just throwing money here all over the place, jumping into debt, doing whatever. I want you to start facing the giant of debt that you may be facing. Maybe some of us here have debt that we need to overcome and we're just praying. And until God takes care of that, it's hard for me to see him. And God's saying, I want you to take care of that and overcome that giant so you can be who I've called you to be and take up the kingdom that I have for you. God wants us to start to be good at overcoming giants. Sometimes with youth, young adults, it's bad relationships and peer pressure. That becomes the giant that you're trying to overcome. And I want to live a good life for Jesus. I want to do the right things. And I will, every time at church, I will be the best Christian I can possibly be. But there's these friends over here. And, you know, when we get hanging out, we do these things. And it doesn't really matter, does it? That's the giant yelling out saying, I'm threatening all of Israel. I'm threatening the kingdom. I'm threatening the dreams. I'm threatening the promises of God. Are you just going to let Goliath stand over there and heckle you? Or will you face it? Face him. Win that battle. Fight for your Israel. Fight for what God has promised for you. Take on the giant that is yelling at you, calling out your name. Sometimes the best thing that we can do for defeating giants, one of the best ways to learn to defeat giants and learn to face giants is to face other giants. Sometimes, you know, in the meantime, like we want to become good at defeating giants and overcoming them, but in the meantime, we better just start battling giants. If down the road we want to be good at fighting giants and good at being a king who's not going to be threatened and overcome by giants, well, we better just get used to battling. We better get used to fighting the things that rise up in us that try to steal the promises that God has given to us. There's this clip that I want to show you. It's from a movie called Facing the Giants. And this particular clip has inspired me over and over. I've showed it lots of places. And I love the clip because it's this football coach and his players. And the one player saying, yeah, we're not going to beat these guys. And the coach says, what, have you already written off Friday's game? He says, well, I wouldn't if I knew we could beat them. And the coach does something profound. He doesn't say, you can beat them. Believe. You know, he doesn't say, well, here's the stats and here's why you got a better chance. He gives him a chance to face his own giant. He gives him a chance to face his own unbelief. He gives him a chance to face his own doubt in himself. And when he overcomes that, in the meantime, it prepares him for the game on Friday that he's going to play. Check out this clip.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
The 50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I don't want you giving up at a certain point when you could go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left.
I bet he does.
There you go. Show me good effort. That away, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
I'm out of the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. I'm just resting a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on, keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm about out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit! No! Keep going! Keep going! Keep going! Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! Brock Kelly, you don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. Go, Brock Kelly. You don't quit on me. No, you keep going. You keep going. Go, Brock. 10 more steps. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. Keep going. Don't quit. Give me your heart. You can. You can. 5 more. 5 more. Come on, Brock. Come on. Don't quit. Don't quit. Come on, Brock. 2 more. One more!
Oh. It's got to be 50. It's got to be 50. I don't have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
I weigh 160. Amazing. Amazing what happens. I read a book recently, and one of the things that it talked about said, on that field, everyone had a Goliath-sized imagination, and David showed up and had a God-sized imagination. He started believing that God could actually accomplish this. And it wasn't just because David was particularly good at believing that. It was because of what he had already done. It was because of the battles that he had already won. It was because of the things that God had already done through him. When he's talking to Saul, his king, in 1 Samuel 17:32, it says, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him." Imagine your king saying that to you. "You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep." I like that line, because it's just so funny that David, that is something that's worth talking about. You know, Saul says, "You're not big enough, you're not strong enough." And David's like, "But I hang out with sheep," you know. But I think it's amazing because I think this is a revelation for David all of a sudden. The meantime was for something. Me going back out and working with the sheep was actually valuable. Me deciding just to get down and start working and be the best shepherd I possibly could be was actually of some merit. In the meantime, I decided to work with the sheep. But because of that, I got to fight a lion and a bear. And God protected me. Here's what he says. "When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine." I think this coach kind of had it right in that moment. Sort of feels like that coach was a little bit like God in my mind of helping this Brock guy learn how to overcome the giant that he was facing. Because God didn't just kill, David just didn't say, "Well, when I was out on the taking care of the sheep, there was this bear and a lightning bolt hit it and it died. God killed it." He said, "God empowered me. I remember the moment where I chased down the bear. I grabbed it and I killed the bear." What? "And then the lion, I remember the moment when the lion came in and grabbed one of the sheep and I chased the lion down and I killed the lion." God will do the same for this. God showed David that he was going to be with him because David decided to face the small giants. And lions and bears aren't small giants, but compared to this giant that was about to come, they were small giants. When we learn to just fight the battles that we're in, when we learn to take on the unforgiveness in our heart, when we learn to take on the bitterness that we're carrying, when we learn to take on the fears that are rising up, when we learn to work on our broken relationships, when we learn to break away from relationships that are not healthy for us, when we learn to battle those little things, God's showing us how to become warriors, how to become conquerors, more than conquerors. He's teaching us how to be what we need to be in the kingdom. Because the reality is they're always going to be giants for you. David killed Goliath. If you don't know the story, he went and he killed Goliath with a stone and a sling. You should read the story. It's an incredible story. But then I'm reading the one-year Bible, and as I'm just finishing the stories of David actually in the Bible, and one of the things that I realized actually is that there's all these accounts later on of all these other giants that he and his men fought. He became king and there were still giants. Reality is, you defeat a giant doesn't mean there's no more giants in your life. You beat an addiction, it doesn't mean you're going to have a perfect marriage and you're going to be able to figure that out. You pull away from a friend group that's not the best influence on you, it doesn't mean that you're all of a sudden going to be happy and free for the rest of your life. There's going to be another giant. And so we face our giants not just to get rid of giants, but to know that they can be beaten. To know that God can win the battle. To know that he can do something in the meantime. Facing giants doesn't ensure there will be none. It reassures that the battle can be won. Worship team, you can come and join me. I really believe God would want to stir up some warriors, some conquerors, some people who would face giants. And the giants that we face are rarely going to be some 9-foot champion. It's probably the thing that's in your heart when you try to pray and you just can't stop thinking about this one thing. When you try to seek God and you can't forget that things are sort of on the rocks here. That relationship's kind of messed up here. Or my debt is out of control here. Unforgiveness here. That's the giant that God's calling you to face. When you face it, start to learn that you can be a conqueror. You start to learn that God can empower you to win so that when the next giant comes, which it will, you will face it. Because it worked against the bear. It worked against the lion. It's going to work against this Philistine who's trying to steal the promise that God has laid in my heart. Who's trying to steal the future that God has put before me. I'm not going to let this giant steal what God has given to me. I'm going to overcome this giant and walk towards the things God has given to us. Moses didn't go to the promised land, even though it was the promised land to Moses. Because Moses was unwilling to obey God and do what God had called him to do. Sometimes we think if God's called us, then that's it. We just don't need to do anything in our lives. But all of a sudden a giant shows up and it's keeping us from the calling God has given us. Defeating that giant doesn't mean all of a sudden everything's going to be good. David defeated that giant and then still he dealt with Saul. And then still he dealt with all the other challenges. And then still Nabal and Abigail from last week, that story came up. Still he jumped from cave to cave and ran for his life. Still all of that happened. But there was no one stealing the promise. Goliath was no longer stealing the throne. David would have an inheritance to receive. He would walk into the promised kingdom and then he would keep defeating giants because he learned how to face them. He learned how to overcome them because the Lord protected him. So Lord, we just ask that you would make us overcomers. In fact, God, you've already made us overcomers. We just ask that we would step into that. We would start being who you've already told us we could be. You've already said we could be. We just ask that we would step into that role. And Lord, the giants in our lives, I pray that we would face them today. Today would be a different day. If it's addiction, I pray, Lord, today would be the day that people would rise up and say, this addiction is no longer going to threaten the promise of God in my life. It's no longer going to threaten the throne that God has given me. It's no longer going to threaten the kingdom that God has wanted me to lead. It's no longer going to call out from the other side of the ravine, of the Elah Valley. It's no longer going to yell at me and threaten me. This giant has to fall. I pray, Lord, that people would overcome today. Not just so they overcome, not just so the giant is gone, because there will be more, but so they can know that God will overcome through them and will empower us to be giant slayers. So when we show up and big Goliath is calling out to us, we don't have to ignore it or be terrified and dismayed, but we can trust that God, you will allow us to win. We can face this giant. Not to eradicate all giants from our lives in the future, but to know that we can face giants wherever we're at, wherever we end up. Give us strength today, Lord. Give us faith today. In your name we pray. Amen.